It is an honor and a privilege to be here. Thank you so much for the opportunity to speak. This is coming back to my roots. And some of my heroes in the faith are in this room. So I always, number one, you got to love coming back to Blacksburg. Number two, during the spring game, does it get better? And then number three, being able to be here this morning with you is a privilege. And as Eric mentioned, I'm picking up where he had been talking, and he gave me the option. He said, would you like to kind of run with your own topic, or do you want to pick up where I left off? So he gave me where he was in Matthew chapter 5, and I'd encourage you to turn in your Bibles. I'm sorry, Matthew chapter 6. Encourage you to turn in your Bibles, your iPods, your devices, whatever you've got your Bible on, and turn there. And I had something maybe in mind, but then I thought, well, let's look at this passage. And let's see how this connects. And I started with myself. And this topic is, hold on, let me make a little adjustment. The topic of this passage is really about worry. And so I began to look at my own life and say, is there a place to worry? Are there things to worry about? And I would say, absolutely. I've got four kids, one who's just gotten married and is still in college, med school. Another one who travels globally, and right now traveling is a risk in and of itself. I have one who graduates in about 9 weeks and heads off to college herself. That's my baby girl. And then I've got one who has 1 year left of high school, and in being in Green Bay, Wisconsin, refuses to wear a jacket unless it's under 20 degrees, which in Green Bay, that's called spring. So plenty to worry about there. What else? I have, as Eric mentioned, I'm pastoring now in Green Bay, and I've stepped into a church that kind of went through its own little implosion. And the one thing, and I don't know if you know this about churches, they say at any given time, 7 to 10% of the congregation is upset with the pastor. Doesn't mean they hate him. They're just not happy with something he's doing. And the minute you please this 7 to 10%, that 7 to 10% is going to be upset. So there's always someone who's going to have something to say. And being new in a church, and little study for you aside from the notes, they say that the first year, people may like you, but they won't trust you because they're just getting to know you. Years 2 and 3 are years of building trust. They call it the dance. Are you going to lead? Am I going to lead? Can I trust you with this? Can I trust you in leadership? Year 2 and 3 can be the toughest points of ministry. And if someone's going to turn on a pastor, it's going to be because I don't like that part. It's year 2 and 3. Most pastors quit at year 3. At the end of the dance, they're done dancing. Year 4 is when you begin to realize I'm not chasing him off and he's not chasing me off. So we're going to be around a while. Let's work together. Year 5 is where you finally start to see some ministry happen. I've just finished year 2. I am squarely in the dance with some people in our church. We've grown. We've seen people come to Christ. We've baptized over 60 people in the last 2 years, new believers. So it's been exciting, but there's always the crowd that I'm learning to dance with. There's plenty to worry about with that. I'm not getting any younger. Past year, I had a hip replacement, a knee surgery, and if I'm near 47, then like Ted Heller's got to be near 35. He's getting close. There's always something to worry about with that. There's family to worry about. There's always something. How about you? What about in your life? Where are you? Maybe it's a specific class or a teacher, a professor, and you just don't know if you can pass that class. You don't know if you can get through it. Maybe it's someone that you work with. Maybe it's work in general. Maybe you're wondering if you'll have a job in 6 months. What does the economy look like then? What is it you have to worry about? Maybe it's a brother or a sister. Maybe it's a parent or a child. There's always something you can worry about. Maybe it's your marriage or relationships around you. Maybe you're worried about what that's going to look like in 6 months, if it lasts 6 months. Maybe you're worried about your finances. You look in the checkbook. What's the old adage? There's more month than there is money. And you just feel like you're hitting the wall and you worry about it. And if that isn't enough, let's take to the bigger picture. How about the world around us? We've got ISIS. We've got the elections coming up. We've got the political issues that are on the scene. We've got natural disasters. And I can promise you, if you watch TV long enough, you will have something to worry about. And if you're not depressed when you turn it on, you'll be depressed when you turn it off. There's plenty to worry about. And it's pretty clear that probably every one of us has something that feeds our worries. And if you don't have something right now, just wait a little while and you will. You will have something to worry about. Why? Because we're in the middle of life. And life will always throw us challenges. You will always have a place to worry. Let's close in prayer. No, I'm just kidding. You can get so drowned in worry. But Jesus had some words for us about it. There's nothing new. Worry's been around for a long time. And Jesus taught us about it. Matthew chapter 6, beginning at verse 25. It says, "Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Can any one of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? And why do you worry about clothes? See how the flowers of the field grow? They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon, in all his splendor, was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and gone tomorrow, and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? So do not worry, saying, 'What shall we eat?' or 'What shall we drink?' or 'What shall we wear?' For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own." So what are some takeaways? What does Jesus tell us in this passage? We're going to look at that, and then we're going to look at the cures that he gives us for worry. The first thing he says, first of all, Jesus forbids worrying. He doesn't just say, it's probably not a good idea. He forbids it. Verse 25, he says, "Therefore I tell you, do not worry." I don't know if you had strong parents or not. Some of you have met my parents. That's all I'm going to say. But when they said, "Do not do this," that wasn't an idea. That was a command. It wasn't an option. Let's see, they said, "Do not do this. Do I want to or not?" You may decide to, but there will be consequences. Jesus says, "I'm giving you this command, do not worry. Don't worry." One writer wrote, he said, "Jesus is not advocating a shiftless, thriftless, reckless, thoughtless, improvident attitude toward life. He is forbidding a careworn, worried fear which takes all the joy out of life." The word which is used here in the Greek and in the language of the New Testament is merimnon, which means to worry anxiously. See, we'll always have things to be concerned about. We'll always have things we want to do well. That's not a sin. That's not what Christ is talking about here. What Jesus is talking about is that worry that gets your hands ringing. That worry that eats at your mind. That worry that keeps you up at night. That worry that goes beyond your trust in him. What is it that's bigger than the God you serve? That's the worry he's talking about. What is it that eats at you beyond your prayer life? That's the worry he's talking about. Jesus forbids us from going to the place of hand-wringing, fearful mind images, beating ourselves or someone else up. He says, don't do it. Instead, the teaching of the great rabbis used to be that a man ought to meet life with a combination of prudence and serenity. Prudence and serenity. You step out wisely and you live a life where you can live in peace. If you're not in peace, you're missing one of the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, the first three. Are those three evident in your language, in your attitude, and in your life? The second thing Jesus warned us about is that worrying is pointless. Worrying is pointless. Verse 27 says, "Can any one of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life?" Let's do a little experiment. I want you to worry about my hair and let's see what happens. Here's the promise. Absolutely nothing. Worrying accomplishes nothing. Somebody said worrying is like a rocking chair. It'll give you something to do, but you're not going very far. It'll just eat you alive. The third thing we see that he says is worrying is a sign of a life out of priority, and that lacks priority. Verse 28, he says, why do you worry about clothes? See how the flowers of the field grow? They do not labor or spin. Why are you worrying about such trivial things? Go to two-thirds of the world and see what they're worried about, and then come back to the States and see what we worry about. It's a life out of priority when we live a life of worries. The flowers only lived one day. These flowers that he was talking about only lived one day. And they would be used after they had lived. They'd be pulled. They would be allowed to dry out. And they were thrown into clay ovens. Those clay ovens would get really hot. And once they threw these dried out flowers into the clay ovens, they would immediately go to flame. And then they could cook on it. They could heat their house with it. Whatever they needed to do. But Jesus says, you guys are worried about clothes, and I make these incredible flowers, I make these incredible designs that end up nothing more than heating a house. We need to stop worrying about some things that are external and temporary. We can't even create or imitate what God creates. Fourthly, worrying is actually a sign of a lack of trust in God. Verse 31, he says, so do not worry saying, what shall we eat or what shall we drink or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after all these things. Your heavenly Father knows that you need them. Even irreligious people, even straight up heathens, the pagans, chase after this kind of stuff. He says the challenge is for us to trust God and not live this kind of life. Here's the hard questions we have to ask ourselves. What are we worrying most about? What is it that may, if someone were to talk to us about it, they would think it's beyond God's grasp by our conversation? The question is, why are we not trusting God with it to the point that we would freak out about it? And secondly, do I really believe God's hands are big enough to handle this? Can he hold this? Can he hold this? Can he hold my children? Can he hold my job? Can he hold my finances? Can he hold my health? Can he hold the days of my life? God can direct it. He can handle it. He can handle it. But what if this person's elected? What if that person's elected? I think God's bigger. Well, you don't know this professor. God is bigger. And God may be using that professor to take the rough edges off of you, or maybe to redirect you. Maybe it's the challenge to have you push through. Have you talked to my child? God is bigger. God is bigger. We have a responsibility with it, but our responsibility is not to worry. I can promise you that every one of these situations ends exactly the way and in the time God can direct it. We're told to trust him in this issue. On top of this, Jesus says worry is blinding. That's why he says, look at the birds of the air. Look at them. Open your eyes. Stop looking down. Stop getting blinded by your own fear. Look at the birds. Every time a bird flies by, thank God that he's big enough to provide. Worrying about the past accomplishes nothing. The past is in the past. Isn't that deep? The past is in the past. Can you tap the person beside you and just tell them, the past is in the past? Amen. Tell the person on the other side of you, the past is in the past. Don't get wrapped up in the past. Worrying about the future, it's counterproductive. There are seasons in my life where I thought, I have arrived. This is it for the rest of my life. I was wrong. There were times in my life when I looked at it and I was like, there is no hope. Life's going to end tomorrow. I was wrong. Don't get caught worrying about the future. God's got it. Worrying is detrimental to your health. One study that I found said two typical diseases of modern life are the stomach ulcer and the coronary or heart problems. And in many cases, both are the result of worry. It is a medical fact that he who laughs most lives the longest. The worry which wears out the mind wears out the body along with it. Worry affects a man's judgment, lessens their power of decision, and renders him progressively incapable of dealing with life. The more you worry, the more your life becomes incapacitated. The more you're fearful of trying something new and stepping out. Don't get caught. Don't get wrapped up in worry. Let a man give his best to every situation. He cannot give any more, and he should not give any less. Give your best. And don't worry. Leave the rest in God's hands. Thank goodness Jesus didn't give us just the problems, but he gave us two solutions as well. First, he says, seek first the kingdom of God. The first thing to do is recognize what to seek first. Concentrate upon the kingdom of God. Verse 33, it says, but seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Seek first his kingdom and his righteousness with your finances. Seek first his kingdom and his righteousness with your time. Seek first his kingdom and his righteousness with your thoughts. Seek first his kingdom and his righteousness with your relationships. Seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. Does it reflect these things with your attitudes? Seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. Those should be first and foremost over each area of our life. When we wake up, when we reflect on our day, I don't care if you're going for a cup of coffee, if you're meeting with someone, if you have a major exam that could make or break your semester, seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. Trust him with all of it. Don't worry about any of it. To concentrate on the doing of and the acceptance of God's will is the first way to defeat worry. Concentrating on the doing of and the acceptance of God's will is the way to defeat worry. If you believe God is in control, if you believe God has destined and ordained, then that's who we trust in. We trust in him. We know how in our own lives a great love can drive out every other concern. Trusting God, not because he's some big ogre in the sky, but because he loves us. Do you remember when you were young, you were little, and you'd be all worried about something? It may be somebody, it may be something, or maybe you're afraid of the dark or afraid of the boogeyman under the bed at bedtime, and your parent would come in, your mom would come in, your dad would come in, and they would sit down beside you on the bed, and they would say, it's going to be okay. It's going to be all right. I'm right here for you. We're right down the hall. There's nothing in the room. Look, there's nothing under the bed. Knowing somebody loved you and cared for you, knowing someone was there to protect you and help you, gave you peace. It's the same thing with our Heavenly Father. The things we're worrying about that we're allowing our mind and our hearts and our lives to be eaten up with in worry, we've got a God who loves us, who says, I'm here with you. It's okay. Seek me first. Don't look for the boogeyman under the bed. He's not even there. You're worrying about something that's not there. Seek me first. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. The God who loves you. And all these things will be added unto you. It'll be taken care of. It's okay. It's okay. Just tell yourself that for just a minute. It's okay. It's going to be okay. God has this. Sometimes it's a matter of recognizing God's love. Sometimes it's a matter of realizing the higher priority. There are some things in lives that are lower priority, and when we get wrapped up in those, we worry. There are some things in life that are a higher priority. And when we set our focus on that, it gives us forward momentum. It gives us direction. Case in point. A couple of years ago, I had a car, and I loved this car. It was a Honda Del Sol, so it was a little two-seat car. I had a bass kicker in the back, underglow lights underneath the dash. The top came off, and I lived in Florida at this time, so I would, at five speed, short shift, so it could move. So I had this little car, two-seater, I'm driving around, and I loved this car. Nobody else in my family liked it. I loved it, which was great, which meant I got a lot of me time in that car. So I'd be driving around, and top off, especially this time of year in Florida, it's not too bad at all. And I had one child who went to a school, but it was like 20 miles away. So they knew if dad was driving, dad was taking the Del Sol, one child in the car. Drive up the road, drop them off, 20-mile drive back, 70 on the highway with no top on the car. Awesome. Awesome. Then the problem arose. I had a second child who had to go to that same school. I have a one-seat, two-seat car, and I'm like, okay, one in the trunk, one in the seat. We can make this work. And that's not how it goes. I had a choice at that moment. Sell a child. Keep the car. Or realize what's of higher priority. What's more important? There's me and what I want and what I like and what I think should happen. And then there's looking at the whole family. And what happens when we wrap ourselves in ourselves, when we get wrapped up in what we want, is we'll shortchange everyone else just so we get what we want. And when we can't do it, we'll begin to worry. Everybody's favorite radio station is WIIFM. What's in it for me? We all love to tune into that one. I had a choice, the car or the kids, and I miss the kids terribly. I'm kidding. I miss the car. It's the bigger picture. What's the bigger priority? What's the kingdom priority? And it doesn't stop by revolving around us. Seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. Concentrate upon him and on the kingdom of God. And secondly, the last thing he says is don't worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow has enough worry of its own. Jesus said that worry can be defeated when we acquire the art of living one day at a time. Don't worry about tomorrow. Tomorrow has enough worry of its own. I'll tell you, when I get in conversations with people that I call irreligious, pre-Jesus, maybe post-Jesus, some of them have been so burnt by church they want nothing to do with it. When I get in conversations with people who don't even believe the Bible, when I quote this verse, don't worry about tomorrow. Tomorrow has enough worry of its own. Even the most irreligious person will go, that's truth right there. That's true. How many of you can agree, don't worry about tomorrow because today's got enough problems for itself? We all can. We all can look at today and say, I got enough on my plate. Don't borrow from the worry of tomorrow. Take care of today. Jesus said, don't be living in fear of tomorrow. You're worrying about something that's not even here. Take care of today. It's verse 34. Do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Listen, you may be a freshman right now. You can't get your degree tomorrow. It doesn't work that way. It doesn't work that way. You're going to have to put in the work. You're going to have to put in the time. Don't worry about your junior year. Take care of your freshman. You may be a senior and you may be about to graduate. Do your due diligence. Look for jobs. Apply for jobs. But realize who holds your timeline in his hands. Look for the jobs. Do your due diligence. But end this side well. End your senior year well. Don't worry about tomorrow. Take care of today. You may be on a job and you're worried about promotion or demotion. You're worried about what's coming. Don't worry about tomorrow. Tomorrow has enough worries of its own. Take care of today. Work well. Be a good worker. First one in, last one out. Be the one that the boss goes, that one works hard. They may not get it right every time, but I know they're trying. Don't worry about tomorrow. Take care of today. You can't solve all your family issues at once. You can't. I've tried. You're going to have one or two or more that are going to put you through the ringer. Don't worry about tomorrow. Love them today. Be honest and truthful with them today. But may they always know, just as it says, God shows us, may they always know that they're loved. Always know that they're loved. Love covers a multitude of sins, Scripture tells us. And as parents, we got to remember to live that out with our children as well. You can't win every game today. The spring game, I'm sure there's one or two Hokie fans in the room. Am I right? Yeah. Okay, I live in Green Bay, so I've got none. I got to at least enjoy it while I can. I appreciate the coach who talks about the spring game was good. We've got some things to learn, but we're only 15 days in. You can't win every game in the first 15 days. Look at the big picture. You can't have spiritual growth in 5 minutes. Look at the big picture. Continue to grow. Take care of today. Take care of what's on your plate today. Move to the future with wisdom, but not with fear and anxiety. You can trust God for today. You can ask Him for guidance for the next step in the plan. And you don't know what that looks like. He may close a door that you thought for sure you were going through. That's okay. Trust Him for tomorrow by living and trusting Him today. Keep in mind the bigger picture. If things are going the way you planned or if they're not, keep in mind that He is Lord. He is God over all of it. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these other things will be added to you. They'll be taken care of. What do you want, God? That's the prayer we pray. What do you want in this thing? How should I handle this? By your book. What's the attitude I should have toward people? By your book, no matter how I'm feeling. What's the fruit of the Spirit that should be evident in my life? The Bible says the fruit of the Spirit is the outcome of our life by having God living in us or dwelling in us. There should be love and joy and peace and patience and kindness. It's not checking a box because you went to church on Sunday morning. It's not because you dressed a certain way or you like certain music. It is the fruit. It is the what comes out of your life. It should be fruit of the Spirit. It should be the outcome, the product of God in us. And worry is a great way to kill the fruit. Seek first the kingdom of God and don't worry about tomorrow, because tomorrow is going to have enough to worry about on its own.